I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2 if you have Bibles, Bibles in front of you, Bibles on your phone, your Bible, physical Bible with you, whatever you would like, or you can just listen along as I read. If you have been around for a while, or you've been to a Christmas pageant, or you've been, you've heard the Christmas story before, there'll be some words here that are somewhat familiar. We've been talking about words, putting two combinations of words together that maybe don't necessarily fit quite as well. This morning might fit a little bit better in some of your minds. We've talked about corporate Christmas, mad Christmas, malignant Christmas, and now this morning we're talking about missional Christmas. And so we'll get to that in a few moments, but let me read from Luke chapter 2 just to frame some of the stuff that we're going to talk about this morning. Again, we're meeting on Christmas Eve, 5:30 and 7:30, and we'll be talking about Emmanuel, and we're handing out invitations. I think I forgot to put those invitations out this morning. Could you go get those and bring some up here and then put in a box in my office? She's looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But we should get them to the connection people and ushers so they can hand them out later after the service. You can do that later if you want to, but we want to be able to hand those out. The idea was that there's invitations and for you to hand them out to people, give them to your family and friends, but to remind you as well to be a part of what's going on this in the next couple of days. We're really looking forward to that. And then, of course, next Sunday, there is no church. Just so you're aware, if you show up here, there will be none of us here. We're taking that Sunday off before we start into the new year. Luke chapter 2. Yeah, that's what it looks like. You can put that back up for a minute. I guess everybody saw that. That's the artwork there for Emmanuel, our service, this Christmas Eve. So, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. I've done this in a couple of churches where I've been fairly new to the church and just started, and people don't really know me that well, and I've given a sermon or a talk with this title, "Why I Am the Way I Am." And some of you might say, well, that would be really nice here too, because I can't figure you out. Really nice to get to know you that way. I've also, with staff that I worked with before, I've given them books to read that have been influential for me, just to help them understand a little bit about who I am and why I think the way I think and why I teach the way I teach and why I think about certain things. And that's what that sermon was all about, was why I am the way I am and why I lead the way I lead and why I teach the way I teach. And hopefully it was helpful for people. If there ever was a time or a way to explain to people why I or why we are the way we are as followers of Christ, as Christians, as the church, if you will, Christmas creates the medium and the message to do so. Christmas, this season, truly does. Think about this for just a minute. Everything that we should want, should want. People to know about who we are, what the gospel is, why we come here each week, give our money, give our time, drag our kids here on Sunday morning when they'd rather be sleeping, perhaps. Maybe you'd rather be sleeping. Is all wrapped up, pardon the mixing of metaphors seasonally, wrapped up in the Christmas story. All of that is wrapped up in here. Why do I say that? Well, let's look at the story just again, just a little bit, okay? Humility, not a high and proud birth. We've talked about that already the last few weeks. You know, this kind and soft narrative of a little baby. You know, look at Max over there in the corner just carrying the little baby. Isn't that so cute and soft and cuddly? That's what comes to mind here. Pure, innocent, peaceful. And what about the geopolitical dynamics going on? The Messiah coming into this context, confronting a world system in a way that should not be able to be resisted by man. But of course we know that he came unto his own and his own received him not. With all of these things just mentioned, wouldn't you rather have that than the messed up political power dynamics that we have, the games that are played, war even? Are you not just really like fed up and tired with all of that stuff? Wouldn't you rather have the innocent, the sweet, the soft, the cuddly, the peaceful, the humble, along with the hope and the faith and the joy and the peace that all are a part of the Christmas story? Each one of what these candles represent for us as we think about the advent of his coming. But it's kind of sad. I don't know if that's actually or often the way we are truly viewed. It's maybe not even often how we sometimes try to explain to people who and why we are the way that we are. I think that what the church on occasion has done far too often is we start the conversation about kingdom and gospel and why all of this stuff with kind of in the negative and kind of a condemning approach. The Christmas story should cause us to rethink our approach. I think it really should. It should cause us to rethink how we want to explain to people who we are and why we do what we do. Let me put forward a bit of a different suggestion, a missional one, and I'll use that word missional. Missional is a word that most of your spell checkers on your computers won't really like that much unless you've used it a lot and have, you know, kind of added it into the dictionary. It'll pop up as being an odd word. If I were to use the word emotional for you, like an emotional plea, you would understand that to mean I used my emotions. It was an emotional plea. You understand that. If I used other words, I could use the word, cultural. We understand that word. There's cultural context and there's cultural things that we do that are part of our culture and perhaps not part of other people's cultures. There is the biblical word that people use. This is the biblical approach too. Biblically, or I don't think the Bible teaches that. It's not the biblical way to think. Of course, there's lots of debates about those kinds of things, but we understand how those words are used like that. The word missional is not much different. It really just means having to do with and relating to mission. And in this case, we mean in relation to the mission of God in the world. The mission of God in the world. How he shows himself to us is, will, has, always will, those kinds of things. His approach to unpacking himself so that we can understand him and draw near to him as he comes to us. And again, in this case, I would argue that the story of the birth of King Jesus illustrates some of the most key and powerful aspects of what that mission is, both in the message itself, which was, we just read it, good news of great joy for all people. Himself, Jesus is the highest revelation of who God is, the most complete, full revelation, revealing of his nature himself, Jesus. It's also in the message, but it's also in the way that the message was delivered. You could say the medium the way in which it was given. And then the other thing that I would add here or put out to you this morning is that in this season of Christmas and all that stuff that we talked about before, remember? The good, the bad, and the ugly. The corporate takeover, if you will. The bizarre way, really, I've used the word mad, if you remember. The bizarre way in which God actually did this. You would think that the high and mighty king coming to earth dynamic would receive different attention, but he didn't. He chose that way. I think that has something to do with showing us his character. And the deep, deep need, remember a couple weeks or last week, I guess it was, the deep, deep need that we have because there's a malignancy inside of us that requires a Savior. I think at this season, there's no better time in the year to illustrate, no better season that affords us an opportunity to live out these key aspects of the story in a missional way in the world that we are, you know, plunked down right in the middle of, in your work, in your home life, in your community life, in your, you know, your friendships, in your marriage, all those places, having to do with the character and the revealing of who God is. So what are these key things? I want to show you three things this morning. What are these three things? Three key things this morning. One, understand the message that God put in the forefront when he announced the coming of his own son. Joy, peace, hope, and love. And focus on that first. Focus on that first. Okay? Really, really important. You could add some other words there as well. Mercy, compassion, all that kind of stuff. If our starting point, this is going to blow some of your minds. It really, truly is, because some of you are going to probably, and might even disagree with me, but you can go ahead and disagree, but the reality is you'd be wrong. And I don't say that to be funny, because I really, truly believe this is right. Understand this first. If our starting point is that we have a great need, we have sin, separation from God, etc., all of which are true, don't get me wrong. What that really sounds like is you are going to hell without Jesus. And for a lot of people, that's the starting point. I don't think the Christmas story teaches that. It does not sound like good news of great joy, does it? The denomination that I'm a part of is called the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and our founder's name back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, 1900s, his name was A.B. Simpson, and he wrote a lot of music, and it's in our hymn books. None of that music is in the hymn book that's here at this church, which is probably a good thing because most of the songs are terrible. But because he was our founder, I suppose we figured we had to keep them. But he's got this one song that makes me chuckle every time I've heard it or heard people talk about it. The lyrics go like this: 10,000 souls a day are dying. Okay, that's the one line. And it has to do with, you know, motivating us towards telling those 10,000 souls that they're dying without Jesus. That line in itself is tough. You know, 10,000 souls a day, that's not a happy thing. But the meter and the hymnology that he chose is a march. So when you put it together, it sounds like this: 10,000 souls a day are dying. Sounds happy, doesn't it? It's awful. It's just downright awful. But unfortunately, I think that's what sometimes the world hears us when we start in that place. The Christmas message is this, okay? It's not that we are going to hell where we will be without Jesus, rather that Jesus came to earth so that he could be with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. The people walking in darkness, Isaiah chapter 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a good or a great light. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God with us, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, all good news, particularly if you're living in the geopolitical dynamic that they were at that time. It sounds like good news. I believe that a missional approach asks first, how is God doing this, and how he, and we want to copy that. Christmas teaches us this. It really, really does. I have come to be with you. All of that other stuff that's a part of, sometimes it's true. It's not untrue. I think that a missional approach orders it differently. and brings the good news at the front end. Brings the really good news at the front end. That brings joy. Jesus wants to be with you. That's the first thing this morning. Secondly, so the first thing was, just to review, the first thing was understand that the message that God put in the forefront when he announced the coming of his own son was joy, peace, hope, love, Emmanuel, God with us. Secondly, acknowledge that the medium or the way that God chose to come and share that message reflects his character. This is the important part. Reflects his character, how he chose to do it, his character, and should be reflected in the way that we share the message and ultimately our own character. Okay? What I'm saying is our character should reflect the character of Christ. The gospel message of Jesus should not be shaping us in such a way so that the aspects of the Bethlehem story are not foreign to us. I'll use that word, foreign. The gospel message of Jesus should not be shaping us in a way, should not be, so that the aspects of the Bethlehem story are foreign to us, but rather more and more native to our character. Okay? It'd be like me becoming Mexican. Got a long way to go. I do like tacos, though. Not foreign, the aspects of the Bethlehem story, but more native to my character. I don't really need to unpack that anymore. All the aspects of the humility, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, all of those things need to be more native to my character. And my story, when I tell it, when I share the gospel message, when I bring the good news, it needs to come through that filter. Think about it for a moment about what it's like to have a grandchild or a child, like having children or having a grandchild. It's one of the most joyful and life-changing events that ever can happen to you. It truly, truly is. Some of the things that are common in these moments are, again, these things: humility, gentleness, kindness, loving, joy-filled, etc. Yeah, sure, there's difficult times and hard times, and times when you're up at the middle of the night and you wonder if you wish you should have done this at all. But generally, there's this sense of goodness, right? Any of that sound familiar? Folks, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And Paul says at the end of listing all that, he says, against these things, there's no law against that stuff. The fruit of the Spirit should be the medium by which and through our message and story comes. Gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. One of the guys that I follow on Twitter, a Bible teacher, he was commenting on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the love candle that we lit today. By the way, those are my children that came up this morning and lit the candle, which is kind of cool for me. He said this, and it just struck me this morning. He said, if your Christian faith has made you less loving, it is not the gospel of Jesus that is shaping you. Wow. If your Christian faith has made you less loving. You could add in all the other words: less kind, less gentle, less humble, less respectful, less self-controlled, less in control of your anger, less in on and on and on. Then it's not the gospel of Jesus that is shaping you. Hit me between the eyes. I thought, wow, that's pretty simple and profound. If you or I are living out your faith in a way that cannot be described by these words, if your faith expression is, and I'll use these words, militant, harsh, argumentative, separates you from people, causes people not to be around you, not want to be near you, then that's not missional living. Because that is the opposite of what God did in this Bethlehem story. He came in a way that expressed his character, and we are supposed to express that character as well. The shepherds, having received the message, we told that they saw and heard, what they were told was true. So us this morning, having received the blessing of seeing and hearing Jesus, results, I think, in a mandate to live on mission for and with him. Again, sharing the truths of who he is through our life, our witness, our story, our work, our play, all of those kinds of things. I've always been fascinated in the Bible, in this Christmas story, about the way the shepherds take this center role. They were really the first evangelists, or the first sent out ones, the first, you know, missionaries to some degree. And I don't know if you know this or not, and I mentioned it briefly a couple weeks ago, but the shepherds were like, you know, if there were normal people in society, the shepherds were like down here, and maybe criminals were just slightly below that. They were, it says in here, they weren't out tending the sheep. It says they were living with the sheep, living out there. Probably smelled like the sheep too. Probably. And they get visited by angels. It's always fascinating to me that the shepherds are one of the first ones to herald the message, if you will, and Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. There's something powerful being done here by God in terms of how this message is coming. They get visited by angels. They hear and they go see and they go and tell, praising God for these things. You remember our choir's performance last week was called Come and See, Go and Tell. Powerful. Come and see, go and tell. They'll be sharing that song again on Christmas Eve. Come and see, go and tell. Praising God for all of these things, it says. Fascinating that he used shepherds. I often hear people say things like this. I have been praying that, you know, fill in the blank, will come to church. Or, Pastor, it breaks my heart that, you know, my husband, my wife won't come to church with me. If they would just come to church with me, they really need that. However true and helpful, perhaps that being here is, and it, I hope it is, because, you know, that whole coming here, that's not what people need. People need to, just like the shepherds, see Jesus. Not church. They need to see Jesus. They need to see and hear that it is just like they had been told. Yes, that can be at church. It's why we design and desire this place to be a place where people and experience the living Christ. It's why we pray that when we're back over here before we come out here, over there before we come here. Spirit of God invade this place so that people could experience the living Christ this morning. We take that stuff seriously. But if the living Christ is not on display in the life of the ones who have already encountered him, if we are not the good news full of joy, hope, faith, and love, then we, I suppose, we need to be asking this question, have we truly encountered him? Are we encountering him? Ambassadors reflect the one who sent them. And we are ambassadors of Christ if we claim to be his followers. Just like the shepherds. The story of Christmas draws people to it. It pulls people in, people who would not, at any other time of year, in any other season, say and do the things they would do, or act towards others, act their actions towards strangers, that, you know, this hospitality sense is giving, you know, dropping a little extra money in the basket or in the, you know, the person collecting for Christmas. This season brings out for a lot of people some gracious character and some attitudes of thanksgiving. Sometimes people don't even know why. It's just the thing that you're supposed to do. To live on mission is to be ourselves a story that is one that draws people to it, draws them in, causes people to think and desire and want to be near and like you. And missional living says it's not me that you want to be like. Did you catch the difference there? Missional living draws people in and near to you to want to be like you, and then we turn it around and go, it's not me you want to be like. You need and should want to be like Jesus, because that's what I want. It's Jesus living in me. Jesus who I have seen and heard. Glory, all glory to Jesus. And some people go, well, I haven't seen Jesus. Yes, you have. In the kindness of a stranger. When you see people do things that are selfless. When people come up to you and go, you know what, some of you may have had this happen. You know, I felt the need to pray for you last night. That's Jesus. You look sad today. What's going on? Can we talk? That's Jesus. So you've seen and you've heard Jesus. Some of you go, I don't hear Jesus. Well, you ever have that still small voice that says, you know, Barry, I think probably the decision you're thinking about making, I think you should move this way. That's Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Jesus lives in you, you have seen and you have heard Jesus. Come and see, go and tell. That's the point. I'll close with a couple of thoughts here. A little story. Wally was a big boy for his age. He was 7 years old, and everyone wondered what role the teacher would give him in the annual Christmas play. Especially considering the fact that Wally was also a slow learner. Perhaps he could be the one in the back pulling the curtain. To everyone's surprise, the teacher gave Wally the role of the innkeeper. And the boy, of course, was delighted. And after all he had to learn was just one line. You know the line. There is no room in the inn. That's it. Wally had that down in no time. There is no room in the inn. And Wally practiced and practiced. Then came the night for the program, and the parents took their places. Every seat in the auditorium was filled. The children entered singing, "Oh, come, all ye faithful." You can imagine the scene. Parents with their cameras getting ready and phones out and videoing. The lights dimmed and a hush moved over the audience. The curtain opened on scene one. Mary and Joseph entered the stage and walked up to the inn. Here comes Wally's big moment. "Please, sir, my wife is not well. Could we have a room for the night?" And Wally was ready for his line. He had rehearsed it all night. For days he began, "There is..." And he hesitated. And he started over again. "There is..." And again his mind just went completely blank. Everyone, of course, was embarrassed for poor Wally. And poor Wally just didn't know what to do. And Joseph thought he would improvise and started walking away toward the stable on stage left. And seeing him walking away, Wally in desperation called out, "Look, there's plenty of room at my house. Just come on home with me." Living on mission means that the story changes us. We flip the script of what people expect. And we do the things that reflect the character of Christ, not our own. Not our own. We do the things that reflect the character of Christ, not our own. You and I have more opportunity this season to live this way than in any other season. But it is how we're supposed to live in all seasons, right? Learn from this season. Let your life be changed by seeing and hearing Jesus. And go into life reflecting this story. As you hear the elements of the Christmas story, think about how that message reveals the character and heart of God. Think about how the medium reveals the heart and the character of God. And then be one to go and live reflecting the heart and the character of God. And if you are one who has not experienced this relationship, understand that this is good news. Jesus wants to be near you. That's what this is about. And to all and for the glory of God, let's pray.